Good morning. So just to repeat, I'm not going to be here for the next 3 weeks. And believe me, it's extremely disturbing. In general, I don't like going to Chutzlaretz anymore, but I have to go. And the shiurim will be taken over by Rabbi Derovin and Rabbi Filchanowski. They're okay. They have very good things to say. And so we'll see you in a few weeks. And I'm always a coward when it comes to saying I'm going to be away. Yes. For the next 4 weeks, Rabbi, on the schedule on Wednesday is Aviv at 9 o'clock until 10:30. A quarter to 11 to a quarter to 12 is will be Rabbi Gordon for the next 4 weeks. When I return, I'm taking that time slot over, and we're for this semester anyway, until, you know, we're really beginning to sound like college. For this semester, I want to study selections from the Kuzari. Rav Yehuda Halevi, it's the classic sefer of Jewish thought and ideas. So we're going to do that for a number of months and see how it goes. No, there is no shiur tomorrow. Rabbi Gordon, now I don't have the list of topics. He has a special unit that he's giving over the next few weeks. You can get it from, he has, okay, before the end of the show. All right. Rabbi Gordon is teaching tomorrow at a quarter to 11 till a quarter to 12, and we'll have the topics that he's going to be dealing with. There was something I wanted to say, and I said that already.
Something about the
I said that already.
It's a beautiful day today.
I didn't say that yet. All right, if whatever it is, I'll remember. All right. Let me say that there's, I'd say, a certain degree of, emotion that overcomes me as I just want to dedicate this year to a very, very close and dear friend today, the yahrzeit of Avram Silver. Olav Shalom. This school has been dedicated in his name. Avram Silver died on this day in 1997. He was 42 years old. And he was a great philanthropist. He was a great supporter of Torah, of Yesha. Oh my, was his heart in the right place. He would have been a major force in Orthodoxy, would he have been granted the years, but he was not. So I was his teacher so many years ago, and we maintained a relationship for all of these years until he passed away. And of course the relationship continues now with his wife Bonnie and their three children, and they've dedicated the school and really a major part of what is going on at the Israel Center in his memory. So here it is, Parashat Bereishit. Now I think that I may very well have been a little over anxious to accomplish a great deal today. That 2 pages, there was a better word I was looking for. Ambitious, that's the word. I was a shtickle ambitious. So I'm going to try and limit our remarks to really to the Ramban, the second page, our selections from the Ramban. But we're going to start with the Psukim, of course. We're talking about very difficult Psukim. And here it is, since I'm dedicating the Shia to the Ramban, and I was Rav Moshe ben Nachman, and I was afraid that Rhoda Epstein would be here this morning. And she would say to me, when did the Ramban live? Who was the Ramban? So I have, the Ramban was born in 1194. And he died in 1270. And I noticed also, the Ramban died in 1204. Which means that the Ramban was 10 years old when the Rambam was born. The Rambam was born in 1194. So in 1204, he was 10 years old. The Ramban, of course, became, first of all, one of the great disciples of the Ramban, but also one who was not afraid to disagree. When he wanted to disagree with the Ramban, he did. And the Ramban, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, is best known by his acronym Ramban, and also as Nachmanides, as the Ramban Moshe ben Maimon is known as Ramban. He was the leading Bible and Talmud scholar in the generation following Rambam, also a renowned philosopher, poet, and physician. He was born in Gerona, I believe that was northern Spain, into a famous rabbinic family. He's sometimes referred to as Rabbi Moshe Gerondi, after his native town. He spent most of his life in Gerona supporting himself as a physician. He exercised extensive influence over Jewish life. Even King James I consulted him on occasion. By the age of 16, he had published his first major halachic work, and then following that, he published so much, and of course, best known is his commentary on Torah, and also there's so much that he wrote, but there's also a great commentary that he wrote on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvahs, the book of mitzvot of the Rambam. So the Rambam has a perush, and also there a number of places where he disagrees with the Rambam, and the classic, I would say, most famous disagreement, and I'm not so sure that it's such a disagreement, Rambam lists all of the positive commandments, and then he lists all of the negative commandments. After the list of positive commandments, the Rambam writes that he lists 17 mitzvot that the Rambam should have listed and didn't list. The most famous one of them all is mitzvah number 4, where the Ramban says that it's a mitzvah, I'll use his words, to conquer the land of Israel, to reclaim the land that has become arid and dry and uninhabitable, and the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael at all times. Because the Ramban does not enunciate it clearly, so there are those who hold that according to the Ramban, there is not, or there may not be a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Don't worry. Promise you, you're all fulfilling the big mitzvah by living here. But this is the famous, huh?
Rabbi Goldsmith, never mind Rabbi.
Listen, I'll tell you, in 1956, I had been learning here in 55 and 56. And there was a time that I had learned with a chavrusa in Merkaz HaRav. Merkaz HaRav was on Rav Cook Street, you know, near Anatiko. Right? Yeah. Okay, so everybody knows the restaurant. It's very beautiful. But right near there was Bet HaRav. And still is. It's a museum. And there's a big smedrish. So I remember before I was planning on going back, so somebody told me, go in and ask. There's a fellow, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, the Rav's son, and ask him whether you should go back to America. So here it is. I walk in off the street and I say, listen, should I go back to America? So Rav Tzvi Yehuda, beautifully, I cherish it now. He brought me into his living room, and he brought out a sefer, a mitzvah of the Rambam, and he gets to the page where the Ramban, it's a long Ramban where he discusses the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and he learned that whole Ramban with me. There was something so fatherly and so beautiful about the way that he did it. It didn't help for the short term, because I did go back, but it certainly must have been a contributing factor in the long term. All right. By the way, I was listening in at the end of Rabbi Adler's shiur about making a Bore Pri HaGofen on a bris on Tisha B'Av. So I want to tell you, I mentioned it Hoshana Rabbah night, I think, that I had a bris in Shul on Yom Kippur, and I was given the honor of giving the child the name. So for the first time in my life, I made a Bore Pri HaGofen on Yom Kippur, and I didn't drink. The baby drank. And I thought to myself that I should make a Shechiyonu for having made for the first time in my life a Bore Pri HaGofen on Yom Kippur. I'll tell you the rest of the story. I see how much Ramban I'm going to get done today. The parents and the grandparents are all real Babatze Hasidim. So I'm giving the baby the name. And you know, you bend your ear to hear. And of course, Menachem Mendel. I smiled, I couldn't help it. Yeah, Menachem Mendel. So the father comes, the Zayda comes up to me afterwards and he says, I saw the look on your face, like when you gave the name, you were thinking, my, what an original choice of a name that was. So I told him, well, probably in the family now you're going to have a whole problem, Mendy 1, Mendy 2, Menachem Mendel 3, like it's a bit, oh, so many Menachem Mendels floating around. So then he tells me the story that I said, Hoshana Rabbah night. This is a tough guy. He's not a sentimental character. And I see his eyes. It's Yom Kippur in the afternoon, and his eyes are tearing up. I can see this big guy is all full of emotion. He says, Rabbi, I got to tell you. Yesterday I was at the Kotel for Yom Kippur, and I'm on my way home for the Suda Masechet. And I see as you're coming down, you know, as you come down over there from Shar Tzion, there's a light, and there's a police checkpoint, a few police cars. And they're looking at every car's going slowly, and he's hoping, oh God, I hope they don't stop me, I don't have time now. Health of a Benjamin, stop him. And a policeman comes over and he says, like what do I do? Like, I don't know. And people are honking back there, and she says, you know, in our trucks we have a whole bunch of fresh lahmaniyot. They're going to go bad. Do you know a family or a yeshiva that can use them? And meanwhile, here it is, traffic is backed up, and they start telling the police, tell the traffic, wait a minute, take it easy. They go to their truck, they bring out all sorts of bags of lahmaniyot, and this fella took it, he brought it to yeshiva in Haranov, Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon. Here's this big guy, he's crying, and he says, so I said to him, Mikam Chol Yisrael, who's like your people to Israel? So he says, no, Rabbi, Ein Kam Chol Yisrael, there is no one like your people. Israel. All right, that's a story. Oh, Rhoda, I was talking about your Rhoda. You're bringing me back to the Shir. The Shir is on the Ramban, and I gave the whole history of the Ramban. All right, I'll give it to you separately. All right. V'ha'ad v'atelet et kayin. On the first side, we have the psukim, the text. Men knew his wife Chava Vatar Vatelet as Kain. She became pregnant. She gave birth to Kain Vatome. She said, Kamiti Ish Et Hashem, I have acquired a man together with God. Vatosef Laledet Et Achiv Et Hevel. She then gave birth to his brother, to Hevel. Vayi Hevel Ro Etzon. Hevel was a shepherd. The Kain Hoya Oved Adama. And Kain worked the land. Interesting. Sava Kabbalah says, with regard to Hevel, it says, Vayihi Hevel Roetzon. Hevel was, and the fact is that Vayihi really is some kind of a future tense. Vayihi. And certainly in comparison to Kayin, Hoya was Oved Adama, was one who worked the earth. He was a farmer. He says, because the fact is, what was man placed in this world for? It says earlier in the parasha that man was placed in the world lo avda ulishamra, to work the land and God to take care of it. Hevel, who becomes a shepherd, is really making a change from what should have been the norm. The norm for man was to work the earth. That means Hevel is doing something that is unusual and exceptional. That's why they use the word by Yehi, Hevel Roetzon, and most probably Hevel did not want to work the earth, because remember, the earth had been cursed after the sin of man. But let's go further. Vayini Kates Yom, and it came to pass after a time period, Vayovei Kayin Mipi Adoma, Kayin brought from the fruit of the earth, Minchol Hashem, a sacrifice, a mincha sacrifice to God. V'hevel hevi gamhu mi'chorotzono mi'chel behem, and Hevel also brought from the best of his sheep and from their fatty parts, Vayisha Hashem el Hevel Mincha, till God turned to Hevel and to his Mincha. El Kayin Vel Minchato Lo Shah, and to Kayin and to his sacrifice, God did not turn. Vayichal Kayin Miod, and Kayin was very angry. Vayichlu Ponov, and his face, he was crestfallen. He was broken by the fact that God had not accepted his sacrifice. I mean, how do they know? Most probably what happened was that fire came down and consumed the sacrifice of Hevel, but did not consume the sacrifice of Cain. By Yomer Hashem al Cain, God said to Cain, Loma chorol loch, why are you so angry? V'loma noflu panecha, why are you so crestfallen? Hello, im teitiv se'ed, vim lo teitiv la petach chatat roveit. This is one of the very difficult psukim in Torah. So you never understood, so I'm hoping we'll understand a little bit more. According to Rashi, what God is saying to him is the following. Halo im teitiv, if you will be good, if you will mend your ways, Seid, God will forgive you. The word Seid comes from a word that we have said so often during the course of the Yom HaNevayim, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachim Lechanon Erech Apayim Rav Chesed V'Emes No Tzechesed Alofim No Sei Ovon Vofesha. God carries sin and rebelliousness. He carries and he forgives. The Rashi says, Hashem says, Im teitiv, if you will mend your ways, which will be good, saved, your sin will be forgiven. Be lo teitiv, and if you will not, then you should know, la petach, by your door. By the door, Rashi says, by the door of your grave, chatat roveitz, the sin is going to be crouching there. It will be waiting there for you. Ve'lecha tshukato, and you will continue to desire what? To sin, but you should know, v'atatim sholbo, even though there is a yetzer hara, there's an evil inclination, you can overcome. You can subdue. And therefore what I'm telling you is, mend your ways. We're going to get back to this pasuk right away. Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv, Kayin said to his brother Hevel, and this is of course another one of the difficult psukim in Torah. Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv, Kayin said to his brother Hevel, now listen, like something went awry over here in the pasuk. It happened when they were in the field. Vayokum Kayin el Hevel Achiv Vayargeo, and Kayin rose up against his brother Hevel and he killed him. What did Kayin say to Hevel? What the pasuk says, Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv, and what do we expect? We expect that after it says that Kayin said to his brother Hevel, we should at least be told, what did he say? And before you know it, the pasuk is already saying, "Vayihi b'yotam basadeh." They were in the field, and he kills them. What was the conversation about? What were they talking about? I have once explained that it's not really important what the conversation was about. What the Torah wants to point out is that whatever they may have been talking about, or whatever Kayin was saying to Hevel, he certainly wasn't communicating. You can talk at somebody, or you can talk to somebody, or you can talk with somebody. Kayin is engaging in conversation. He's engaging in conversation. Doesn't mean that there was any significant communication. There are people who can talk with each other, and they despise one another. There's nothing to do. One has nothing to do with the other. You can talk, and you can hate at the same time. Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv, he engages him in conversation, but he is not engaging him in any kind of a meaningful, communicative relationship. The Medrash fills in a certain sense. Number one, there's the Medrash number one. You have it right on The Medrash asks the question. It says that Cain spoke to his brother. Well, what were they talking about? The Pasuk hasn't told us what they were talking about. Alma hayu midainim. What were they dealing with? What was the issue? Amru. Medrash is going to give three answers. They said, Bo v'nachaloket ha'olam, let's divide the world. Echad not alat hakarkaot, one took the land, the real estate, v'echad not alat hametaltlin, and another one took the movable objects. Dein Omar, so the one who took the real estate of the world, said, Arodak kaim alei, the land that you're standing on, didi, belongs to me. Fly, get off. And the other one said, what you're wearing, Dane. Ma'at lovish, what you're wearing, didi is mine. Chalot, take it off. Dane Omar Prak, one said, fly. And we can see already that there's been an extremely complete breakdown of communication over here. They've divided the world. In other words, in a sense, they've partitioned the world. But the partition has not brought any kind of peace. If anything, the partition has brought even greater strife. Mitochah, in this back and forth, Vayokum Kayin al Hevel Ochid Vayargeu, Kayin rose up against Hevel and he killed him. That's opinion number one. In opinion number two, Rabbi Yeshua de Sachnin b'shem Rabbi Levi Omar, Rabbi Yeshua of Sachnin, the same Rabbi Levi said, Shneim not luat ha-karkot, u'shneim not luat ha-metaltna. There was a more even distribution of the world. They divided the real estate and the movable objects of the world equally. So what were they talking about? Believe me, there is nothing more real and contemporary as this part of the Medrash. They're fighting over Har HaBayit. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? One says, "Bitchumi yibaneh, Bet Hamikdash yibaneh." Within my boundaries, the Bet Hamikdash shall be built. This one says, "Bitchumi Bet Hamikdash yibaneh." Shenema, because it says in the pasuk, "Vayehi b'hiyotam basadeh," when they were in the field. So the second opinion in the Medrash holds that there has to be some kind of a hint in the pasuk as to what was the topic of conversation. So they say, the word sadeh. The word sadeh is a term that is also used to describe the Temple Mount. Ve'ein sadeh ala bet hamikdash. Sadeh is bet hamikdash, as it says, Tzion sadeh teichadesh. Micha talks about what the bet hamikdash is going to be plowed under. So he refers to Tzion as the sadeh. U'mitofkach v'yokum Kayin el hevel achid v'yargeu. Kayin rose up against his brother Hevel and he killed him. Yehuda Barabami Yoma, third opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Barabami says, Al Chavo Rishono Hayu Midainin. They were talking about who's going to get Chavo. How do you like that? Nechama Leibowitz says that, of course, what the Medrash is telling us over here is that all wars, all struggles, all battles throughout all of history are either over possessions. That was the first opinion. Possessions. That's what people fight about and kill one another out. The second, of course, is religion. Where shall the Bet HaMikdash be built? I'm, of course, taking it one step further and making it even more contemporary. By us, the struggle is, in fact, over Bet HaMikdash itself. And the third opinion is over woman. People will kill one another, or kill men, or kill women. The world hasn't changed too much from the days of the Medrash. But in order to get to what we want to talk about, there's another Medrash down there, number two. Vayetze Kayin milifnei Hashem. Later on it's going to say that Kayin is banished from from the Garden of Eden. Vayetze Kayin milifnei Hashem. Kayin went out from before God. So the Medrash asks, Meheichon Yotzo? Meheichon Yotzo? Where did he go from? Where did he go from? so the number of opinions. Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Eva Omar, Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Eva said, "Hifshul dvarim la'chorav v'yotzok k'gone yivdata yona." He sort of put his backpack on his back, and his knapsack on his back, and he sort of made his way out of Gan Eden, sort of like one who is, is sort of sneaking, slinking away out of the presence of God. That's what's meant by the Yetzer Kain Lifnei Hashem. Rab Rachi b'shem Rab Lozer, Rab Shimon Omer, Rab Rachi in the name of Rab Lozer, Rab Shimon says, Yotza kimafris u kimeramer biboro. That he walked out in a sense he walked out as one who is deceiving his God. Deceiving as though, we sort of made peace and we're parting friends, and he goes marching out of Gan Eden. Rab Chama b'shem Rab Chanina v'Rab Yitzchak Amar Yotza Sameach. He went out full of joy. The first opinion, he's sneaking out. The second, he's walking out with his head tall, but it's a farce, it's a game. Not really so. He's trying to leave the impression that he's, you can't fire me, I'm quitting. The third says, Vayetze, he went out with great joy. Heich ma da'atama, this as it is said, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, behold, your brother is coming out to meet you. On your way back to Mitzrayim, your brother Aaron is going to come out to you. Hinehu yotzei likrotecha, he's coming toward you. And what does he mean? And God is telling him, your brother is going to meet you with great joy. The yotzei here is like the yotzei there. Great joy. Why great joy? What's the joy? So the Medrash explains. Parkapo Adam Harishon, Adam Harishon met Cain. Amalo. So Adam Harishon, first man, said to Cain, Man Nasa Bedina, what was done with your case? What happened? Amalo. Cain says the following. Asiti tshuva, I did tshuva, v'nit pasharti, and I arrived at a compromise with God. Hitchil Adam Harishon mitapeach al panav. Adam Harishon started hitting himself, and he said, "Kach hu kocho shel tshuva v'ani lo ha'iti yodea." This is the great power and the strength of tshuva, and I didn't know. Miyad Amad Adam Harishon for Amar, immediately. First man got up and he said, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Why did he say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos? So the Mefarshim on the Medrash say, what does it say after Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos? Tov Lahodot LaHashem. And what he meant was, it's good to confess. Lahodot from Lashon Vidui. It's good to confess. What's amazing, of course, is other Marishan didn't know the power of tshuva. Cain knows the power of tshuva. How does Cain know the power of tshuva? Nobody's told him, but there's no question about it. Cain is a great man. Cain is a great man. We're going to see in the Ramban. The Ramban says he brought a sacrifice. He knew the secret of the power of sacrifice. It had to be by dint of his own greatness. We're not talking about a garden variety. That didn't come out too good, a garden variety killer. We're talking about a killer in the garden of God. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about just on the contrary. Cain, therefore, is much worse. But Cain's brilliant. Cain knows the secret of Korban, and Cain knows the secret of Tshuva, that himself did not know. It's not because God told him there's Tshuva, but he was able to arrive at a conclusion that if man stands up before God and says, I'm sorry. Now here, there will be a difference between Rashi and the Ramban. The extent to which he does tshuva. Of course, the first response of Kayin is certainly not a tshuva response. What happens? God says to Kayin, the next pasuk, "Vayom Hashem al Kayin, ei hevel achicha, where is your brother Hevel? Vayom lo yadati, I don't know. Hashem arochi anochi, am I my brother's keeper?" I mean, here, this is clearly the response of a person who's trying to shunt away any kind of responsibility. He doesn't care any, what, it's my business where my brother is? I mean, this is certainly not a person who is ready to face the horror of what he did. Vayomer, God said to him, Me'osita, what did you do? Cold me'achicha, the voice of the blood of your brother, Tzawakimei Laiman Adoma, crying out to me from the earth. And then he says, Ato, Orur Ato, you are cursed, Min Hadoma, from the earth. Asher Patstad Piha, the earth will be, you will be cursed from the earth. Ramban is going to make it clear. There's no curse on the earth. The curse is on Kayin. The earth is not going to respond to his ministrations. Other people will be able to work the land and receive bountiful crops, but you won't be able to. Ki tavod et hadoma, you will work the earth. Lo tosef teiv koch aloch, she's no longer going to give strength to you. Nova not tihi ev aretz, you will be a stranger and a wanderer in the land. Vayom et kanyin el Hashem. Now here, this is real. A Rashi, and then we'll go to the Rambam. Vayom et kanyin el Hashem. Kanyin said to Hashem, Godol avoni minisol. Godol avoni minisol. My sin. Now this can be read in one of two ways. Rashi learns it as a question. Is my sin that great that you can't carry and forgive it? Godol avoni minisol. If you read it as a question, it means that Cain is still maintaining his rebelliousness. Like, what? It's so terrible. It's such a terrible sin. God, you're able to do anything. You can forgive even this sin. Now, we're going to the Ramban. Because if I don't learn a few Rambans, it's going to be pretty bad. Here's a whole shiur devoted to the Ramban. Rhoda, he was born in 1194. Just remember that. You see where it's underlined over there, number 3. Vayovit Kayin Pri Adoma Minchal Hashem. Kayin brought from the fruit of the earth, he brought his sacrifice. The Hevel Hevi Gamhu. Hevel also brought. The Ramban says, Hevinu Ha'anoshim Ha'ele Sod Godol Mehakor Vanot Vahamanachot. These people understood the great secret of bringing sacrifices of animal or from the fruit of the earth. V'chein Noach. Noach, when he comes out of the ark, also brings a sacrifice. V'rabotenu Amru, our rabbi said, Shekam Odom Arishon Hikriv Shor Par. Odom Arishon also brought a sacrifice. V'ze Yachsom Pi Hamavhilim B'tam HaKorbanot. Here, we were talking about the relationship between the Ramban and the Rambam. Here, in a very fascinating and code, he is referring to the Ramban. He says, all that's taking place over here closes the mouths of those who say confusing things as the reason for sacrifice. He's referring to the great machloket between himself and the Ramban that will come to the fore in Sefer Vayikra. The Ramban of the Moreh Nevuchim says that sacrifice was really a concession to the weakness of the Jewish people. They were living in a society, in a culture that sacrifice was basically part of that culture. You couldn't simply tell them don't bring sacrifices. That's like telling people don't pray. So as a concession to the weakness of the Jewish people, God gave sacrifice. The Ramban says, no, it cannot be. And what's his proof? One of the proofs, he brings many proofs. One of the proofs is that Adam, Kayin, Hevel, Noah all brought sacrifices. And these, of course, took place before there ever was idolatry on the face of this earth. So bringing sacrifices did not begin with the idolatrous world. It was something that in and of itself has great significance. But that's already a major, major area of discussion, and of course there are those who explain what the Rambam has to say. The Rambam was not that wrong, but here it's that shuts the mouth. If I want to translate it the way what it really sounds like, v'zeh yachson, it shuts the mouth. By using the word yachson, that's already the negative connotation is there, because the pasuk in Torah says lo taxon shor b'disho, we can't close, muzzle the mouth of an animal while it's working. So when he uses the term zeh yachson, it's like this is going to muzzle the mouths of those who say confusing things with regard to sacrifice. V'od ermoz bo, I'm going to deal with it, that it's ikar gadol v'ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that sacrifice is an extremely important principle in fulfilling the will of God. Now it comes to the pasuk of halo in teitiv seit. This is one of the psukim we wanted to deal with. Halo in teitiv seit, al dat ha-mefarshim. According to the mefarshim, and here means Rashi, seit avoncha. I will carry and forgive your sin. Just as we had the pasuk that we just learned over here, when Cain turns to God and says, Gadol Avoni Minaso, is my sin that great that you cannot carry it? So that's Rashi. Halo in Teitiv, if you mend your way, say, I will carry, and the carrying means I will forgive your sin. And then he also brings Valdat Rabbi Avram. Rabbi Avram, that's the Eben Ezra, Seit, comes from the word Yisor Hashem Panov Elecha. God will raise your countenance. In other words, there will be a renewal of the relationship between God and Cain. Keneged, because God had said to Cain, Loma Noflu Panecha, why is your face crestfallen? If you will do good, Seit, I will lift your face, and there will be a beautiful, beautiful, shining countenance of yours. Ki hamid bayesh, because a person who is embarrassed, kovesh panim lamata, bends his head down. V'chein v'or panai lo yapilon, v'hamrechavdo ki ilu nosei panim lamata. If you honor somebody, it's like you're lifting his face upward. Etc. So we have two pshatim in the word in teitiv seit. Rashi says seit, I will carry your sin and forgive it. The Eben Ezra says seit, if you mend your way, I will lift and raise your countenance. Va'aldati. The Ramban says, my opinion is in teitiv yelecha yeter seit. If you will do good, se'et, he learns, means strength, greatness. At the end of Sefer Bereshit, in the blessings that Yaakov gives his children, so he says to Reuven, Pachas kamayim al totar, because you are hasty, then you're not going to have what should be yours. And yeter se'et, you should have had, yeter se'et, you should have had more greatness, but that's being taken away from you. Se'et is greatness. The greatness, the double portion in the world that belongs to the firstborn, and Cain is the firstborn. V'zetam, and that's why it says, Lama Chorolach, why are you so angry? Ki bevoshto me'achid, because he was embarrassed of his brother, Noflu Ponav, his face fell, Ubikin Atomi Menu, and because he was jealous of him, Harogo, he killed him. God said to him, Lama Kabalacha, why are you angry, Alochicha, about your brother? Why is your face fallen because of him? Halo in Teitiv. Now the Ramban is explaining the pasuk. If you will do good, Yelecha Yeter Se'et Alochicha, you will have greater strength over your brother. V'im lo Teitiv. If you're not going to be mend your ways. Not only to you alone will evil befall. By the door of your house, there will be always something crouching there, the Yetzirah, to cause you to stumble in whatever you do. It means everything, everything. Your life is going to be a Gehenim. Te'elechot shukato. Your desire is shehu yishtokek li yod davek b'chor kol ha'yomim. That Yetzirah is going to try to be connected to you all of your days. But you should know that you have the ability of atah to shoto in tachpos. You can rule over him if you want. If you will mend your ways and you will remove him, horehu al hatshuva shehinetuna biyado lashuv b'chol eid sheyirtze biyislachla. Important line. I'm not sure what to do with this line, but what it seems to be is that God is teaching him that there's such a thing called tshuva. Horehu al hatshuva. He taught him about tshuva. Because that's what he's telling him in this passage. Imtative, if you'll be good, then great strength will be yours. Imlotative, then you should know you're going to fall. You're going to fall. You're going to keep falling down that slippery slope into Gehenna. So that means he's telling him that you have an opportunity to do good. Horeyu ala tshuva. He taught him that there is tshuva. Shehinu tunav yado, it's all in his hands. Lashuv b'chol eid sheyirtze, that he can do tshuva at any time that he wants. V'yislachlo, and God will forgive him. Of course, I have a problem with this. Obviously, the Ramban, according to the Medrash, we learned the Medrash a little while ago, that Adam HaRishon meets Cain, and he asks him, well, what happened with your case? And he says, okay, I did tshuva with Pashati, and I made a compromise with God, everything was okay. And Adam gets upset. He didn't know about tshuva. He didn't know about tshuva. From the Medrash, it would seem that it was Cain himself who arrived at this great conclusion of tshuva. Here the Ramban seems to be telling us that God taught him about tshuva. If God taught him about tshuva, then why doesn't God teach Adam HaRishon about tshuva? I'm asking questions that I don't have an answer for. You know, there can be next year too. Yeah? We may get an answer by then. In other words, it seems that and the truth is, even when you look at the Psukim, God is telling Cain, you can do tshuva. He didn't say that to Adam HaRishon. He didn't say it to first man. Why didn't he say it to first man? Why isn't Adam HaRishon? So I like what you said. Well, I like everything everybody said. I'm in a good mood today. In other words, what's really happening is God is attempting in a delicate way to intervene before a crime is committed. That's very, you know, we always ask, well, where was God? Where was God? God was there before the first murder took place. So what do you want? What should happen now? I'm making this all up as I go along. What should God do? Should God strike Cain down before he commits the crime?
Well, that's the son.
Oh, go ahead, what?
That would be better for the son.
No, I think it would be much worse than that. You take away his free will, and you know what God might as well do? Go back a few psukim earlier and return the world to tohu vavohu. The warning means is that God, to the extent that he feels right, that he can do it without creating a terrible imbalance in the world, God does intervene. Isn't that? That's a very good question. Well, you know why? Because you should know that man was not born created as an animal. There are basic instincts that every man was endowed with from the moment of creation and then afterwards from birth. Intellectual, there are certain intellectual ideas that everybody knows. The Neshe Chochma talks about it. Everybody knows that the whole is greater than any of its parts. Do you need to be taught that the whole is greater? A circle is not a triangle. You have to be a greater guru to know that. Shlomo HaMelech says that God made Adam Yoshar. We're good. The human being instinctively knows that murder is prohibited. You don't have to be told, lo tirzah.
And
you know what? And that's
they don't,
why.
They don't take it for granted that men will know women.
No. No. As far as Torah, as far as Jews are concerned, why do you think the Gemara says, do you know what Lo Tirzah includes? Lo Tirzah includes embarrassing somebody publicly. You embarrass somebody in public, that's called like killing somebody. Why does the Gemara say that? Because the fact is that everybody knows you're not permitted to kill. And by the way, God doesn't tell him, what did you do? You killed somebody? No. He tells him, Kol demei achicha tzorek emei laimel adama, the blood of your brother is crying out to me. You don't have to tell anybody. Shouldn't kill. Elokim osat ha'adam yashar, God made man straight. Go ahead.
So that's why
the Medrash said that he said Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, Tov LaHodos LaShem. It's good to confess before God. But by Chazal, the first Baal Tshuva is Kain. Kain is the first Baal Tshuva.
Very late.
Hmm?
Very late.
What do you mean very late?
Well,
I'll tell you. There happens to be a reality in life that you can't be a Baal Tshuva until you sin. That's the way it works, you understand? Without a sin, you can't be a Baal Tshuva. Yes. Huh?
The original sin was the carbon that he wore.
The carbon wasn't the sin.
No. But
the carbon wasn't the sin.
I don't know why that's not
Oh, because he was upset that God accepted Hevel's and not his. Mm-hmm. That's why he's angry, and that's why he's jealous. And God already realizes that this is a very laden situation that could bring to who knows what. And therefore he's warning in advance. God is intervening. God is there. Let's go to Pasuk Yud Gimel, that's at the bottom of the page. Gadol Avoni Minisol. Bitmiya. The Ramban begins by quoting Rashi, and when we learned the Pasuk, I told you what Rashi says. Gadol Avoni Minisol, he's asking a question. Cain says, well, is my sin that great that you can't forgive it? Apotoin Elyon in the Tachtonim, God. You know, there's a certain chutzpah over here, the way Cain is speaking to God. Doesn't sound terribly repentant. What? You're able to carry the upper heavens and the lower heavens, the whole world. Vavoni ef shalit on. You can't carry my sin. Lashon Rashi. That's what Rashi says. Right? That's what I'm saying. According to Rashi, certainly at this point he has not yet done tshuva. But the Ramban is going to learn the Gadol Avoni Miniso. He's going to read it differently. Watch. V'hanachon. Whenever the Ramban says v'hanachon, what's correct? That means he's saying his pshat. V'hanachon the pshat. You know what the real pshat is here? Shehu vidui. He is making the statement. God Almighty, Gadol Avoni Miniso. My sin is greater than I can carry. I did something terrible. Amar Emet, who says to God, it's true. Ki avoni gadol milislawach, you're right. The Ramban is learning these words as gadol avoni miniso, as a person who has come to the full realization of what a terrible thing he did. V'tzadik ato Hashem, listen to what, you know what the Ramban is doing? We once learned Rav Kook. We learned a few weeks ago Rav Kook on the Akedah, who takes us through the mind and heart of Avraham Avinu step by step. The Ramban over here, this is the beauty of the Ramban here. It tells us what's going on in Cain's mind. And in this pasuk, he really gives us a major description. MS, it's true. Ki avoni gadol mi nislach, my sin is so great, there's no forgiveness. the tzaddik hatartel, you God, you're just, v'yosor mishpatecha, and your judgment is correct. Afal pisha nashtoti harbein miyot, even though you have punished me in a great way, you have cast me out from upon the face of this earth. Because now that I'm going to be a wanderer and a stranger, and I won't be able to stay in any one place, and really been expelled and divorced from the world, there's no place for me to rest. You know what the Ramadan is describing? A person who, you know what, we say it in English, you can't find a place for yourself, or is that a translation from Yiddish? We're talking about troubled, tortured soul. Even if he has a house, and it's a beautiful house, and it's in a quiet, peaceful neighborhood, but because of the sin, he's a wanderer, he's an exile. Even if he wouldn't have been thrown out of the Garden of Eden. We disagree. The Rav brings it in one of his drushes, al Tshuva. He brings it in the name of the Tzemach Tzedek, that was the middle Rebbe of Chabad. Pasuk that we said so often during the course of Slichas. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Tzvutcha, God is going to return your captivity. V'shav, and he will turn the Kibetzcha, and he will gather you in from all of the nations. So the middle Rebbe said, Kibetzcha is a singular. How do you gather in a singular? You know, you can gather, if it would say the Kibatchem, he will gather all of you in. So I understand, he brings a million people together. But the Kibetzcha, how do you gather in a singular? So the Sadek said, because a sinner is a person who finds no rest. He's a tormented and a tortured soul. His mind and his emotions are going off in all sorts of directions. There's no inner peace. There's no inner tranquility. And do you know what the process of tshuva is? Returning all of the thoughts and emotions and feelings, bringing a sense of peace and tranquility to a human being, like you're being gathered together again. You have a place. You're not flying emotionally in all directions, without anchor, without anything. You don't feel you're at home with yourself. And this is what the Ramadan is describing over here. Ein makom menuchati, there's no place for me to rest. Umiponecha es sater, and now I'm going to be concealed from your face. He realizes already what a real Baal Teshuva is supposed to realize, that the greatest punishment for sin is that one's relationship with God has been torn asunder. From before you, I am now concealed. Ki lo uchalamo lefanecha l'taleh, I cannot stand before you to pray. O lahakriv korban mincha, I can't bring sacrifice before you. Ki boshti v'gam nichlamti, I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed. Ki nasati chepat nurai, because I carry the great shame and embarrassment of my youth. Avol ma e'eseh, what can I do? Next page. Anybody who finds me will kill me, because he believes that by having committed this terrible crime, he has made himself, in a sense, hefker, ownerless. Anybody can kill him. He feels like he's
in the world.
Huh?
There
are going to be people in the world. There's going to be people in the world.
Maybe his own children and grandchildren. Who else is there?
And do you know how he's going to be killed ultimately? By one of his grandchildren. Lema. How do you like that? The Ramadan is beautiful because the Ramadan is taking us into the mind and into the consciousness of the sinner. So then he says, "V'ata b'chazdecha harabi, you with your great kindness, lo chiyavta oti mita, you did not find me guilty of a crime for which I should die. V'ingin shalafarav hinei chatoi gadol v'hibetol ayonesh my sin is great, I've been punished greatly, avol shomreni. God, I'm only asking you one thing. Shelo e'enash yotemi mashech yafoti. I should not be punished more than what you decreed upon me. Again, now because I'm going to be a wanderer, for lo evneli bayit ugederot b'shumakom, I'm not going to build a house or a wall in any place. Yehaguni achayot, I'll be killed by the animals. Kisor tzu chom yalai. He feels that the protection of God is gone from him. Very sense of very profound and deep feeling of a sinner who is truly regretting it. Hoda, you know what he's saying? Ki ha'odam einenu nisgav v'nimlat v'kocho rak shlichat elyon alav. No man has the power or the strength to save himself. There's only one way a person makes it through this world. Shmirat elyon alav. Watched by the Almighty God. Watched by the Almighty God. I want to take you just a brief moment to another amazing Ramadan and just tell you the basic idea. It's the last one. It says that afterwards, after it was all over, he left the Garden of Eden and he had children. It says, by Hibonet year, he built a city and he called the name of the city like the name of his son, Chanoch. Ki mitchila hayachoshev liyot arvidi b'avonam. You see the depth of his regret. He thought that because he had sinned, he's going to be childless. He shouldn't really have, nobody should ever come from him anymore. The remorse, the guilt is unbelievable. V'achar eishenola mozera, after children were born, heichel is not here, liyot b'no yosheva. He began to build a city that his son should live. Why that his son should live? Because he knows for certain that he's never going to have a place that he can call home. He's the man without a country. Remember that? Remember that? Was it a poem? The man without a country? Huh?
It was a book.
It was a
book? Yeah.
The man without a country. He's the man without land. And you know, it's even more fascinating. The Ramban is going to say, it's so strange, you don't find this any place. How do you say somebody builds something? Vayiven, and he built. Why does it say in the present tense, Vayibonet here? He was building a city. You know what? He was always building and never finished. His whole life, hundreds of years, he's building, and he never finishes. He starts, he stops. He is a tortured soul. Tortured. Nothing. He's never going to make it. He will never complete it. And he doesn't complete it. And ultimately what's going to happen, of course, is sliding further down that slippery slope. All he and all of his children are going to be swept away by the marble. The story of the first great, first terrible, terrible sin. Ramadan, it's a dramatic, dramatic description that really describes to us what's going on inside the mind and heart of a Kohen. Did he relive it in his mind a thousand times? Why did I do it? Why did I do it? It really means that the evil that men do is ultimately that which does them in. Not so much the fact that it was a sin. It's not only the relationship with God that's now gone forever. So what a difference in two approaches. Another hour I'd be able to tell you Rashi's side of the story. There are two sides to the story of it. Rashi has learned Gadol Avoni Minaso as the one who's not yet ready to realize he's made a terrible mistake. By the way, I think that we can relate more to the Rashi in a contemporary sense than we can to the Ramban. The sinner is just not ready to recognize that he made a tragic mistake. And you know how he makes sure that he doesn't admit it? when he just goes doing the same thing all over again.
You're wondering what I'm talking about.
The same thing. We have somebody to talk to. Just give them more and give them more. In other words, it's really a repetition, a rewind, a replay. Nothing new. Nothing new. But you know what? What remains the constant? An inability to say, make a mistake. What? Ami Rusa, you're crazy. We're going to bring greater days. The Rashi's point is how difficult it is for man to say, I made a mistake. The Ramban's point is how profoundly disturbing sin is, and how it eats away at the human being, and that after all is said and done, he has in a sense really destroyed his own life. Infinitely worse than what he did to Hevel was what he did to himself. What he did to himself. You can't relive it. You can't do it all over again. You can't undo. You can't undo. And at the same time that you can't undo, God does forgive. God does forgive. Horeyu ala tshuva. All right. I'm going to miss you. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who? Just Rabbi Macy Gordon is going to give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 classes on Wednesday from 10:45 until 11:45. This week is going to be a discussion on science and religion. Next week is going to be, is there such a thing as relative morality, or is there a particular moral stance? Boy, this is, I feel bad, I'm going to foot size. The crisis of the religious court system, that's very much of great significance. Parshas Vayera, this sounds very fascinating. Peace treaties with Philistines. That's in the parashah, in Parshas Vayera. Chaim Sarah, of course, this will be, I'm sure will be fascinating. He's going to talk about the whole concept of Jewish burial. I would suggest that you make it here from 10:45 to 11:45 for the next five Sundays, Wednesdays. Thank you very much. I'm going to miss you.